And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. So we're still focused on the ways that God revealed Jesus of Nazareth to be the promised Messiah. And so far, if you remember the flow of the season, we've seen the star that pointed to him as king on the day of Epiphany, and then at Jesus' baptism, we heard God the Father say, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." And when Jesus met Nathanael, we were shown that Jesus is the one who sees us and knows us and who stands as the ladder between heaven and earth. And then last week we heard him speak with God's voice as he taught with authority and commanded a demon to depart from the man that it possessed, showing that he is the one who muzzles the devil. Which means at this point you might be wondering what more there's really left to reveal. Well, there's still much. This week, in that gospel that you just heard, Jesus revealed as the one who brings God's kingdom and rule to earth. But as I mentioned to the young people, you might want to say, okay, Pastor, but we got that already, right? Jesus has proclaimed that the kingdom is at hand. He's called the disciples to follow. He's spoken God's word, cast out demons. That's all pretty kingdom of God stuff. And we've seen God's reign powerfully present in Jesus so far. But it turns out there's still more to see. With Jesus, there is always more. And that's the focus on this passage from Mark. He cast out one demon, but there are still more to be sent away. He proclaimed the kingdom in one place, but there are still many places to visit with grace. And while we saw him heal Jesus' mother-in-law, there are still more people besides her to be healed. And Jesus, the kingdom, doesn't just do enough to get by. It always does more than enough. And so his work is seen and felt in all places. So we can start with Peter's mother-in-law. Mark tells us that we're still on that same Sabbath when Jesus taught with authority in the synagogue. The service ended. The people returned to their homes for the Sabbath to end. When Jesus and the disciples came to Peter's house, they found his mother-in-law sick with a fever. We don't know how high the fever was, what caused it, but it was enough to leave her bedfast. And I think most of us know about being sick like that, right? You feel as weak as a kitten. All you want to do is just sleep. It takes all your strength to get up and use the bathroom. And while we may not know the cause of her fever, we do know that all disease is the result of the fall. Whether a person becomes ill because of genetic inheritance or weakness, or gets a bacteriological infection, or is fighting a virus, whatever, we know disease was not God's intent for a good creation. Disease reminds us that because of sin, we live in a broken cosmos. And we have inherited a life that is twisted by the effects of sin. Microbes that once served the ongoing life of the cosmos by breaking down plants to enrich the soil, bacteria that once helped with digestion, these have become hostile to us. And our bodies, once made strong and resilient, have become weak so that we can always fight off the attacks that rob us of health. And so we get sick. And when we get seriously ill, we feel the chill hand of death. Pains, aches, weaknesses, misery, fever, digestive distress, being sick and stuck in bed, all of that reminds us of how fragile we really are. And it prevents us from following our callings and serving others. And of course, death is the final end of all of that. But Jesus is come to restore a broken creation and to take away the effects of sin by taking sin and death to himself. And where his kingdom and reign are, there the power of sin and corruption is undone. So whether he instantly gave strength and health to Peter's mother-in-law in her body or rebuked whatever disease was afflicting her, when Jesus took her by the hand and lifted her, she was healed and set free. And in her freedom, what did she do? She returned to her vocation and began to serve. Now, I should add here that sometimes folks worry about whether or not this isn't a little callous and sexist. I mean, that poor woman just recovered from an illness, and what do the men do? They make her get back to work. But I think that's quite wrong. Back in the pre-COVID days, I know that not a few of you like to have friends and family over for meal and fellowship. Showing hospitality to others may be work, but it's also a joy. Serving one another is what we are made for. So far from being forced back into work once she was healed, Peter's mother-in-law likely rejoiced at being able to show hospitality to Jesus and the disciples. I mean, after all, can you think of anything better than having Jesus over to the house? Disease robs us of the ability to serve, but where Jesus brings healing, joyful service is resumed. And when the Sabbath ended with the sun going down, we went from one healing to many healings, all sorts of diseases. You can almost imagine how the day had gone, right? Jesus taught at the synagogue, he rebuked the demon, everyone went home amazed, but because they were bound by the rabbi's interpretation of the law, no one could do anything the rest of that day but wait. But as they waited, they thought about their sick. Could Jesus' word bring healing? They thought about others of the possessed. Could Jesus free them too? As the hours dragged on, I suspect more and more eyes started looking west and waiting for the sun and the final sliver to sink below the horizon. And when that happened, they all made a beeline to the house where Jesus was staying. One healing became many healings. One demon cast out of the synagogue became many demons being sent away that night. The kingdom doesn't work by half measure. And as the demons cried out in terrified recognition of the Holy One come to destroy their work, Jesus silenced them. He would not have his identity revealed by demonic testimony. No, his will is always that faith come by hearing, by seeing, by knowing the power of his work, his grace, his love. Jesus wanted people to know him, but to know him because they recognized him as the promised one come to redeem them with his death and resurrection. Now, we don't know how long into the night these healings and exorcisms continued, but there finally came that hour when it was done, and folks went home, went to sleep. And Jesus rose early the next morning. Why? Because just as there had been more healings and more exorcisms, there was also more proclamation to be done. Jesus was come to herald and establish the kingdom of God in Galilee, in Judea, to the ends of the earth. He'd made the kingdom present in Capernaum. Now it would do its work. And so it was time to bring the kingdom to more towns and villages and people. For it turns out, the reign and power of God is not finally found in Jesus' mighty works, his healings, his miracles, and so on. It is found in his word. It is the word of God that creates, that gives life, that brings light to the darkness. The word proclaimed and declared going forth, that upholds all things. That releases the prisoners from sin and guilt. The word turns us to God and gives us his spirit. And then the effects of the word will follow the proclamation. Healings will happen. Demons will be put to flight. But the word is first. It and its proclamation are the foundation. Now, this is the point at which some ask, well, if Jesus has come powerfully with his word to establish the kingdom, why hasn't the proclamation been believed by all? And why aren't all made well and all diseases banished? And why are not all demons rendered silent and inert? This is a simple question, but the answer is complex. The reason that all is not finished, not all are converted, not all made well, not all of hell vanquished once and for all is this. There is still more to be born and saved before Jesus brings this season of history to an end. Here's the deal. Until the last person is conceived, all men and women continue to inherit the corruption Adam and Eve brought to our race. Therefore, all of those yet to be born will need to be redeemed. And God does not desire the death of sinners, but that they turn and live. And yet, how do sinners get turned? They get turned by being crushed in a broken world and finding the emptiness and corruption of their own hearts. Only when they know and feel that does the gospel become good news. Only when they find themselves in the shadow of death and judgment do they seek after wholeness and go where it can be found, which means that disease and the devil's work actually serve God, much to the devil's chagrin. All is not perfected, because the brokenness still educates the lost and prods them to seek after God. So restoration is not yet complete, but the day is coming. And in the meantime, the word is still heralded and proclaimed and goes forth from Christ's body, the church, to establish the kingdom of reign and God in this tired world. It still works to turn hearts estranged from God. It still assures men and women of God's mercy. It still gives light and life to the faithful and constantly gives us new life, a life lived in Christ with his love and grace guiding our words and deeds. For Jesus brings God's kingdom and rule. So let us rejoice and receive it. Let us hear Jesus and live as those walking in his light. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.